there. This is a special episode because we are starting not in German but in English, if you didn't recognize yet. The reason for our language is our guest, Daniel Love, a British author. He wrote a book a little time ago, and the title of the book is Are You Dreaming?
Yeah, if you haven't heard of it yet, you certainly should have if you're interested in lucid dreaming. I really suggest that you take a look at it. If you're a beginner or not, it's interesting either way.
Yeah.
Hello, Daniel.
Hi there.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, at first, I guess you could introduce yourself a little. For example, how did your interest in lucid dreaming start?
Well, it's been a lifelong passion, to be honest. It started when I was a child. I had terrible parasomnias and suffered from nightmares, sleepwalking, and I think it was a natural reaction or just a defense mechanism to develop. Well, lucid dreaming just was born out of that. So probably this was back around the age of 4 or 5, possibly a little later. It's a long time ago now. But that was my beginning. So it was initially just a defense mechanism. From there on, I sort of developed the skills through my childhood, mostly in the ways you'd expect a child would lucid dream. It was mostly flying around, visiting space, doing all the things a kid wants to do.
Sounds great.
And the passion just developed from there onwards. So as I entered adulthood, I decided to try and make it a full-time career.
So you probably didn't have the name Lucid Dreaming for it back then.
No,
was it wasn't. Was there a moment where you realized that this is actually a thing that has a name and
there
people
was.
Are trying to accomplish this?
Yeah, it was a very strange series of events, actually. It came about, I think, because a friend of mine used to play practical jokes on each other, and we would sign each other up to junk mail. back when that was more of a thing, rather before spam. And so I must have ended up as a child on a mailing list. And in the post one day came a piece of mail that was for a book on lucid dreaming. And it was Stephen LaBerge's book. And that was the first time I realized that lucid dreaming was a thing. And so having discovered the name of the topic, it just opened up the entire world of exploration. And from there onwards, it was quite an adventure.
What the luck in coincidence. I wanted to say. because... if that wouldn't have happened like that, we would have missed out on, I think, an important member of the community.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well, I find it quite funny, just off topic, that the lucid dreaming is almost always like a defense mechanism, as you said, because most people come to this topic because of nightmares. And I guess it's funny because it's a whole new world. It's a good world. It's
at least if it happens naturally, so to speak. Of course, many discover it nowadays online and think, hey, that's something I would like to be able to do and start training. That's a different start. But
I think there's certainly a benefit in learning the skills young. I think your mind is more malleable at that age, and the skills you develop seem to sort of take hold much faster.
As it is with anything else, really.
Yeah.
Learning a language or any skill.
Yeah.
So, from your point of view, what's your place in the lucid dreaming community?
It's a difficult question because I have a real problem with people who set themselves up as experts. Well, I've always preferred to
You've been called an expert several times, I guess, by now.
Yeah, I, I, I've been sort of trying desperately to fight that, because I'd rather be considered a maybe researcher, author, these terms I find a little less offensive in a way. I just find, unless you're working continuously in a lab with and you're making sort of very advanced research into this, I think it's too broad a field to be sort of putting yourself on a pedestal and talking down at the masses, as it were. I'd rather consider myself a passionate lucid dreamer who wants to push the field forward, and also I think that the field has been taken over quite a lot by these self-appointed experts who want to sort of cash in on the subject or use it to reel people into maybe their spiritual ideas or something along those lines. And I have a problem with this. I know that some people don't, but for me personally, it's I think lucid dreaming is wonderful enough, and it has such potential that we don't need to have it being sort of hijacked by the New Age crowd or just I think having a spiritual element to lucid dreaming is fine, but at the same time, if that's all there is, then it will put off a large portion of the population, and that would be a shame.
Actually, is it hijacked by the New Agers, or is did science discover it? Did science discover it later than the New Agers?
I don't think so. I mean, really, if you look at the history, Saint-Denis back in 1867, when he released his book, was a very scientifically minded gentleman. He researched his dreams in the most logical, rational fashion and managed to develop the skill of lucid dreaming, which at that point was unheard of. And really, I think it was the 90s, maybe in the 70s, where the hippie movement sort of picked up on these things, I don't know. I know that this is it's a dangerous topic, because a lot of people, there's already a friction in the lucid dreaming community between the science crowd and the spiritual crowd, and I don't want
I tend to view it that way. If you really want to talk about the topic in union, then you should ignore the dispute that happens sometimes, because there's no use in fighting each other, and both sides probably have views that are interesting and can advance the...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say that personally I come from more of the scientific side of things. I'm fascinated by the philosophical elements, but...
So I don't say be careful what you say, because some people might think otherwise. We should just talk about it freely and see what we can take from either side, or don't see it as sides.
The only thing I would request from both sides of that debate is that when we talk about such things, that we make it clear what we're discussing.
Yes.
Because spiritual exploration is a very important part of life.
Yeah.
But it's dangerous when we start to say... To blur the lines between fact and speculation, or fact and belief.
Yes.
And I think this is where I have issues with certain so-called experts, is they promote certain things as a fact when they're really just speculation or personal belief. And so that's where my issue is, really.
Probably the point where you made a name for yourself as an lucid dreaming expert was when you published your first book, Are You Dreaming? What was the motivation behind this project?
I guess it was just the culmination of a lifetime's worth of passion for the subject, and just wanting to... going back
share
to what I was
knowledge.
Just saying, yeah, share my knowledge and just kind of make something, offer something which was just neutral, that didn't have these other elements attached to it. And on a personal level, and it sounds rather silly, it was a good way to stop repeating myself, because...
I understand.
I wanted to just say, you know, this is all the information I have on learning to lucid dream. Here it is. Now let's go further from that. Let's not just keep talking about how to lucid dream. Let's talk about what we can do with lucid dreaming from there on.
Mm. So your interest was more, your motivate was more personal, not more...
educational.
Educational or scientific.
I think a bit of all of those things. It's just, it's hard to really sort of pinpoint when you've lived with a subject and it's been a sort of love affair with lucid dreaming your whole life. You can't really pinpoint one reason for doing something. You just, if I hadn't written the book, I would have felt an emptiness in my life that it needed to be done, if that makes sense.
It was a passion overload, as it sounds to me.
Yeah.
And would you say that this book is in line with other scientific books about lucid dreaming, or would you say it's more like one of these guides and helping to approach people to lucid dreaming? Because I know it's more for beginning, but I guess you said you prefer a scientific way of approach. Would you consider this book as a scientific book or as a book for the science of lucid dreaming?
Not, I mean, it's not hugely into the science side of things. It's coming from a logical, rational perspective, but it's aimed at the everyday reader. So when I say it's coming from a scientific perspective, I mean that it's based in fact rather than speculation. And it tries to stick to the subject rather than go off on too many tangents into other areas.
Yes, the way I see it, it's not that a book that screams scientific approach. It's not a thought that is present in the book. It's just that there isn't anything in it that contradicts science, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the idea, really, just to bring out the passion that I have in lucid dreaming in people who are new to the topic, and just to, I mean, it's such a wonderful subject. I mean, as you both know, you're both passionate dreamers. Once you develop this relationship with lucid dreaming, it becomes a part of who you are, and I think it's quite hard to express that to people who are new to the subject.
Yes. So is it a book mainly for people new to the subject? Is it a beginner's guide?
It is initially. It's sort of what I wanted to do was write a book that I would want to read myself. So if that makes any sense, I felt there was a gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you haven't read Are You Dreaming, or anybody of the listeners, you really should look into it. If you're a beginner or not, it's definitely interesting.
Well, there's one thing which may be of interest to your listeners if they're interested in my new Kickstarter project.
We'll come to that, of course.
Well, they'll get a free copy of Are You Dreaming if they back and share the project before the 19th.
Oh
yes, I think it's never been so easy and cheap to get a ebook of this.
Yeah, book. Yeah, exactly. So
I haven't seen it, actually. I have been on the Kickstarter project page, and I haven't seen that you get a free copy of the old book.
Ah,
okay. It's not an official reward. I think it's just if you pick any reward, you get and share the project on the social network, then you get the book as well.
Yeah. It's listed in the updates, but I probably, now that you mentioned that, maybe I should make it a bit more obvious on the page itself.
Well, I guess for ignorant readers like me.
Well, it's so difficult when you design a Kickstarter page to get all the information in the relevant order, etc. It's
yeah, and there's also time involved, so yeah. You can't do everything perfectly.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about the Kickstarter project now, we should introduce the project properly first. Hmm. What is it about? What are you collecting for?
Well, the initial idea is to gain the funds to create the first book in an ongoing series of books exploring the lucid dreamer's relationship with the cosmos, which possibly needs quite a bit more explanation. So
the idea mean a lot of things, yes.
It can mean an awful lot of things. Essentially, what I want to do is write one book a year from now indefinitely, and each book will explore a separate area of our universe. So one book could be on biology, another could be philosophy, one will be the solar system, or as big as our universe is, I want to explore all of these topics from a scientific perspective. But I also want to mesh that together with lucid dreaming practices.
Mm-hmm. Will the connection to lucid dreaming be more the topics itself, the connections between, for example, biology, physiology, and lucid dreaming and sleep? Or is it more the view of a lucid dreamer on these topics?
It'll be a bit of both. It's hard to say exactly at this point because I want the project to evolve around what the community of lucid dreamers want. So it's not going to be just my vision. I want to work with Reddit and Dreamviews and other forums to get the idea of what lucid dreamers out there want to read about, what they want to explore, and how they want that to happen. I also want people in the community to contribute their thoughts and experiences. So it's quite a big project. It's possibly crazily ambitious, but I think it's the next important step for lucid dreaming. I think really, if you consider our dreams to be built from our memories and knowledge, then if we enhance that knowledge, then our dreams can only get better. They can only be more realistic, more useful, and yeah.
Yeah, sounds great. So the project is ongoing. There are 20 days left, so you should look into it right now because it may be less when you hear the podcast now. Yeah. And there are a bit over £7,000 missing. So it's definitely achievable in the 20 days.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think it looks quite good.
How long?
I mean, the other aspect with the
how long is it ongoing? Yet,
I think that's about 2 weeks.
Oh, how long has the campaign been running for? It was about 35 days, I think, altogether.
Oh, yeah. That's a long way.
So not even half through.
Yeah.
So you've said it was against your natural instinct to put yourself out there. What made you brace up and start this project?
I just think that the field of lucid dreaming has kind of got caught in a rut. We're just going in circles talking about how to lucid dream. It's always the same old information. And I think there's just so much potential. There's so much more that we can do. And every time I meet a new lucid dreamer or visit a forum, there's so much talent and so much knowledge out there. And just this burning passion with more experienced lucid dreamers to do something with that. And really, I just want to be a conduit to get all of these people together to make something wonderful happen. And part of the reason for producing the books, it's kind of a two-pronged approach. One is to educate people through the books, but the books themselves, the funds that come from the books will be reinvested into lucid dreaming research. So that's kind of one of the main objectives, is to create funding to improve lucid dreaming research.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to ask anyway. Where is the money supposed to go? Is it for the time writing the books?
To be honest, I'm going to try and live as frugally as possible because I want to have as much funding available for the research side of things. As in, one example is at some point in the near future, I want to invite lucid dreaming experts, authors of all of the big lucid dreaming books out there, to join me in a sleep laboratory to prove that they can lucid dream. sounds a bit crazy, but I just think at the moment we're in this place with lucid dreaming where there's a lot of people putting themselves out there as experts. And it would be nice for them to just say, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and I'm going to prove to people that I can do what I claim to do. And I think that will also generate a bit of interest in... It'll be great to get experts in the lab and start little projects like that. I want to also run events. I want to sort of... Are you aware of Lucid Dreaming Day?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah, that's a project I started a few years ago, and I want to bring that in under the umbrella of the Lucid Dreamer's Guide to the Cosmos and hopefully eventually turn that into maybe a physical festival so that lucid dreamers can get together and explore topics together. Mm-hmm. It's really, I mean, as you can probably tell, it's a hugely ambitious project with a lot of different ideas.
Yeah.
But initially the first thing to do is to get that first book out there and to get the enthusiasm and start getting people working together, break down some of the boundaries between the different forums and the different groups of people and mm-hmm. Create a cohesion and a bit of momentum forwards with everyone.
So what will the first book be about?
Well, a lot of that's going to be down to who wants to be involved. So members of the... I can't pronounce the forum that you guys are members of. Clout, is it? Clout Forum? Clout Trom Forum? I don't know.
Clout Trom Forum, yeah. You don't have to be able to pronounce it.
Yeah. So members of your forum are welcome to sort of get involved and give ideas as to what they want to appear in the book. If they want to contribute, that's open to happening as well.
So you're gathering already ideas and suggestions.
Yeah. I don't want to be... Essentially what I want to do is be the conductor in front of an orchestra. So I'll be just helping people get their ideas out there. Obviously I'll put my own slant on things as well, but the first book will be an introduction to the entire series. It will explore lucid dreaming itself and different aspects of lucid dreaming that haven't really been investigated as much so far, and little areas of the topics that are going to come from there on.
So you can't really give us an example of parts of the first book because it hasn't been decided.
It's going to be a work in progress, and I wouldn't want to say something now and then it be a disappointment when it changes and evolves over time. But anyone who's involved in the project will have constant updates as to where we're at and what the direction of the book will be. And also they'll have their democratic right to sort of push it in the direction that they want it to go.
That sounds really interesting. Yes.
Oh, I guess it's a very interesting way of approach to this topic because...
Yeah, I mean, it's an experiment. I'm not sure how this is going to work out, and it's a bit of a gamble in some ways, but I just have a lot of confidence that the lucid dreamers out there have a lot to share.
Yeah, I think they definitely have a lot to share, and it's a very very interesting approach, one that I think has never been. I have never heard of such a project in any field.
Yeah, it's possibly I'm completely crazy to be trying it, but some crazy ideas can turn out to be great. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So. I know it won't be just up to you, but for example, the book about philosophy, would you want to be it more about popular philosophy or take a more scientific approach? Because with such a topic, maybe only a scientific approach wouldn't be the best in that case.
I think I'd want it to be quite broad. I mean, you can talk about subjects that aren't scientific without contradicting scientific knowledge. So it'll be interesting because each book will be a learning experience for me as much as the people involved and the readers. So So as a writer, it'll be a very fun project to take on because it's a good way to explore these fascinating areas and
go to go really deep. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So everybody is invited to send you their crazy ideas, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Bring it on.
Great. I'm sure many will do so. So what exactly do you think the collaboration with the community will be like, will look like? Is it like people are sending stuff in, maybe even complete chapters, and you gather it and put it together and connect it? Or
I think there'll be some of that. I think also there'll be an online element to all of this as well. So because obviously you can't fit an endless amount of information just into a book. So I sort of envisage each book being sort of the takeoff point for further exploration. And then the website will then sort of expand upon that. So even if people can't be involved in the content of the book on that particular topic, there'll be room to explore it further and continuously update.
How will contributors be chosen? Because I imagine there are people who would want to get something from themselves in that maybe wouldn't fit into this series.
It's difficult to sort of say for certain how that will occur at this point, because it'll depend largely on sort of the how many people are trying to get involved. I mean, if there's an absolute tsunami of information, it's going to be much harder than if it's just a trickle. Initially, I just want to go through a relationship with forums. So, for example, at the moment, I'm working quite closely with Dreamviews and just gathering interested people there. And once... It's hard to say, because until we know the project can go forward, it's very hard to put anything into.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Also on Dreamviews, there's a Q&A thread with you that I think is also interesting to point out. You can read more about the project and your views on lucid dreaming, and ask questions to Daniel Love. That's also good.
I'll also be running an AMA on Reddit on Sunday the 19th.
I'll write that down. That's always good. So maybe it will be hard to say, but do you think there will be translations into other languages of the series?
I would like there to be, definitely. Again, this is one of the benefits of working as a collective rather than an individual, is I imagine there'll be people of all different languages and abilities who will be able to take on that side of the project.
So it looks like the answer to the question of a fellow lucid dreamer, will there be a German version, is, well, translated.
Yeah. If you want to do your bit for lucid dreaming, then this would be a great way to help.
I see. There will be a lot of things a lot of ways people can get involved with without contributing only as an author.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an artist or a video maker or a musician, there will be a lot of elements to this. I mean, I intend
or
to
a
make,
scientist.
Yeah, of course, or a scientist, or an expert in any field, and with your experience, how you've used that field with lucid dreaming. It's a big project, and I really would be so pleased for people to jump on board and offer their help, because for me, I just want to see lucid dreaming become a bigger part of the world and understood and used more effectively than it currently is.
So, well, as I imagine, the series won't just give people the opportunity to read about their hobby, but more to connect to each other and build a network that has got one one single target, like making the world a better place for lucid dreamers.
Yeah. I mean, it's expansive, but at the same time, it's nice to have the structure of the individual books, because also that gives us, as a community, something that we can work with together. So as a new book comes out, there'll be a new topic that we can all explore together. And also each new book will be voted on by the community. So there'll be a series of topics that can, everyone can suggest a topic. We'll collaborate those into a list. And then depending on how people vote, that's what the next book will be exploring. I have a strong suspicion that virtual reality is going to be one of the next books in the series.
How many people are making this connection right now. I've called lucid dreaming a type of virtual reality for quite some time, and virtual reality as a technology seems to be becoming big again, like in the 90s, but time seriously.
Finally. I've been waiting for this my entire life. I remember being on the brink of it back in the 90s, and then the disappointment of it never really coming to life.
I imagine it's more because VR is now such a big topic, and people who are interested in lucid dreaming right now make this connection. It's always been a form of virtual reality, but I don't think the connection with the technology, there's too much to get out of the topic, but people seem to be interested.
I think there's possibly more than you'd expect. I mean, there's a lot of feedback coming back from the sort of early users of virtual reality, how it's affecting their dream life.
Yeah, true.
There's quite a few bits of software being developed to sort of influence your dreaming, or I can imagine sort of the ability to record your dream, not so much as in directly record it, but to recreate your dream using software. That would be a very a fun way to sort of create a new visual dream diary, to sort of build it in the virtual world.
Also, the connection with video gaming is still there. Video gaming and VR, I think, are two topics that fit together perfectly. So, that should be helpful. When you say you want to advance lucid dreaming, do you mean make it more compatible with the general public and spread the word?
I think that's part of it.
Or is it maybe more about adapting lucid dreaming practice so it can fit better into the lives of more people?
Well, I think at the moment we're dealing with lucid dreaming. Here's an analogy. If you consider that human beings have been dreaming since we first developed as a species, and very early in our evolution, we developed fire. Now, dreams, we've done very little with. Using fire, we've developed fire, we've built civilizations off of that technology. If we consider lucid dreaming as a form of mental technology, we're still huddled around it. We haven't done anything with it.
Well, some cultures have more than ours.
But it would be nice to just explore how we can use lucid dreaming and what other applications there are for this, because I feel that it is a biological virtual reality, and what we're lacking really is the ability to program that virtual reality in a way that's useful. Because it's all well and good to use lucid dreaming as an entertainment or sort of a psychological curiosity, but when you think of the power of the human mind, there's just an infinite amount of possibilities, and it would be nice to start making progress towards discovering how we can make the most out of it.
So could you give us a better, maybe an example of where the money, where you plan the money to go. You've talked about events and research. Is there, for example, a specific experiment you would like to see done properly?
Well, initially, I mean, it's kind of quite hard to get the funds together just for producing the first book. So I don't think there'll be an awful lot of funds to start with. And I hope it creates a sort of snowball effect. But
Well, there has been some talk in the German community about whether it would be a good idea or even possible to crowdfund lucid dreaming research to answer questions like which the technique is better, and the topics that lucid dreamers are talking about a lot in the forums that don't really have clear answers, and everybody always just offers their experience, but nobody learns what the answer actually is over the years.
It would be very nice to clarify some of those things. I think there's possibly a bit of a danger with obsessing too much with techniques.
Yeah.
Because what works for one person won't work for another. And I do wonder whether there will ever be sort of this, whether you can list techniques in such a way that one is effective for everyone or...
Probably not.
But it's worth looking into, and I mean, this is it's questions like this which we need to work with and push forward with.
The approach one fellow dreamer is taking to this is not calling it techniques and using all the funny names that are there out there for different practices, but breaking them down to what people actually do when they say they do try this technique or have most success with this technique. Often people are talking about quite different things. And so if you break it down to the things you actually do, including just thinking about stuff or changing habits or anything, then you have something you can do research more easy with or more practical.
Yeah.
And there's the big lucid dreaming survey we mentioned in the previous episode is still running. So we put the link again in the show notes. That's also available in English, of course.
I can I'll put an update on the, if you want to send me the details, I'll put an update on the Kickstarter.
Oh, I would be happy to, because it's a quite a big task. You should like that about the project. it's a questionnaire. Realistically, it takes people from 45 minutes to about 2 hours to finish it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that is asked, and so far more than 330 people did the whole thing. But more is always useful, especially with such a large amount of data that is being collected.
Well, I'll do what I can to spread the word on that, because I understand how difficult it is to get this sort of information out there and to get people to invest the time into it.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
I'm fully behind that.
So I think we've covered all our questions. Like I said, there's a Q&A thread on DreamViews, and there will be an AMA on Reddit, and probably there are other ways to ask questions to you if there's something we have got or didn't cover.
Yeah, I'm always open to, if people want to contact me via any of the forums I'm active in, via the Kickstarter page, or there's a contact form on my website, which is exploringluciddreams.com. I always love to meet new lucid dreamers and to discuss these things. So,
you are quite experienced lucid dreamer yourself. So I think people will also want to get some tips from you.
Yeah,
I have two questions, because I think that are quite common problems lucid dreamers have, even if they are into lucid dreaming practice for several years. The first one is more of a beginner one, but I know others have problems with this as well. It's expanding lucid dreams. Too often you just wake up right after you become lucid, or you don't really have the time to get to your task or finish what you've planned to do. What is your tip to expand lucid dreams?
Well, I would, the way I try to extend a lucid dream is to engage as much as possible with the physical sensations within the dream world. So if I feel one of the first signs that a dream is fading is the visual clarity starts to blur. And so for me, when that starts happening for me, I will start running around, jumping around in the dream world, touching any rough texture there is, shouting, just go nuts, really. Just really engage as much with the dream experience as possible. It's similar to LaBerge's spinning technique. As for the sudden waking up when people realize they're lucid, I think sometimes that can't be avoided, because I think occasionally that's just you realize that you're dreaming because of the process of
already waking up.
But it can, you know, occasionally you can reel it back in again using that same technique, but also trying to calm yourself as much as possible. Excitement or strong emotions tend to snap you out of the dream. But really, for me, I've always found the most effective thing is a tactile immersion in the dream world.
So more touching stuff than interacting with dream characters.
I for me, that seems to be the most effective practice that I've found. It may be different for other people, but I think it just stops your body from... it doesn't allow your brain to sort of reconnect with the very low level information coming in from your sleeping body. So you're just sort of sensory overdose for your brain from the dream world.
All right. And the second one is, do you have dry spells and how do you deal with them?
Ah, the wonderful dry spell. Yes. I think everyone does. And I think it's probably inevitable, because the nature of lucid dreaming is if you want to have them regularly, you have to invest quite a lot of mental energy. And that level of energy and excitement and enthusiasm is impossible to keep up forever on a constant day-to-day basis. I think if you're having a dry spell, the best thing to do is to keep a detailed record of what's going on in your life. So a good quality dream diary and a good quality day diary. And then to start just experimenting with changing certain variables of your lifestyle or your sleeping pattern. Because it may be that you've got caught in a rut. You may be just sleeping. You may be waking up from the wrong period of sleep. You may be, your diet may have changed. It's really just experimentation. I think one thing
maybe something really not obvious as well.
Yeah, and sometimes even just trying too hard. I've seen this happen a lot, where people they'll just be investing so much of their effort that they're not actually allowing themselves the mental space to really process what they're doing.
So in that case, doing even more analyzing would be maybe counterproductive.
Yeah. Well,
I guess there are two basically different approaches to dealing with dry spells. One is to dive into it even more, do more practice and try harder, so to say. And the other one is, if you don't have the motivation, forget it for a while. Maybe spontaneous lucid dreams will come, and after some time you will start again.
Yeah, I mean, I really am a very big believer that detailed record keeping is one of the most important practices in a quality dream diary. So many people try to skip that side of things. And personally, I think you can become a regular lucid dreamer purely from recording your dreams well.
Definitely, yeah. It's when I've paused for some time and I just start to record my dreams again, whether even if there's not much memory, just write down whatever you can. That tends to lead to lucid dreams already. Yeah, well, after some years of experience, but
also interrupting your sleep cycle is a good
practice. Oh yes, wake back to bed or any form of it.
Yeah. Even just sort of setting an alarm clock to go off every 10 minutes first thing in the morning, it's just that can help. Some people would suggest galantamine. I'm on the fence with acetylcholine esterase inhibitors. I'm not sure whether they're a good thing or a bad thing. I've tried them with success, but I like the fact that lucid dreaming is a free, natural process. So
yeah. Also, just taking a pill won't help you to lucid dream. You still have to do the mental part, so to say.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe it can help, but it's not a solution to not having enough lucid dreams.
And there may even be a danger that, you know, regular use of these pills might lower your ability to lucid dream in the long run. There's just not enough evidence about this
yet. Yeah, we just did an episode on supplements and lucid dreaming, and I've noticed almost the only thing we keep referring to and quoting from is that one book by Yushak, and well, he wrote more after that, but there's not much more out there about this.
No, and he also sort of vanished off of the radar.
Oh yeah,
very shortly, and I mean that raises questions itself. I mean, I've tried to track him down via various contacts, and he does seem to have he's not available anymore. So hopefully he's healthy and well, and just he's had enough of being in the public eye. But it also raises questions. I mean, if something's happened to him, which was a result of his explorations, we don't know.
Well, it's easy to speculate in these situations, of course. Yeah. Anyway, we don't know. So there's one last question I'd like to ask you. Are you dreaming?
Let me just check. Apparently not this time.
Okay, because I would have wanted to know.
Yeah, that would be good to know.
It would be fantastic, wouldn't it? You know, we will all dream of this tonight.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So thank you very much again for taking the time and answering our questions.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I know we've all been very tired and had a long day, so it's
we'll put as many links as we can find relevant to the episode in the show notes, and please check out the Kickstarter because it still needs some support, and it will be very helpful for, I think, every lucid dreamer, whether they are interested in the book series or not.
Yeah, it's more about the community, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the nice interview. I'm sorry I wasn't that active because of my internet, but I hope Steve's question are enough.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, so thank you very much.
So, thank you again, and nice dreams.